All mothers, sentient beings, especially those enemies who hate me, instruct those who harm me, and those who create also the path of liberation and omniscience. May they experience happiness, be separated from suffering, quickly established in the state of the most perfect and precious Buddhahood. All mothers, sentient beings, especially those enemies who hate me, instruct those who harm me, and those who create also the path of liberation and omniscience. May they experience happiness, be separated from suffering, quickly establish the state of the most perfect and precious Buddhahood. All mothers, sentient beings, especially those enemies who hate me, obstruct those who harm me, and those who create opposite the path of liberation and omniscience. May they experience happiness, be separated from suffering, quickly established in the state of the most perfect and precious Buddhahood. Thus, until we achieve enlightenment, we perform virtuous deeds with body, speech, and mind. Until death, we perform virtuous deeds with body, speech, and mind. From now until this time tomorrow, we perform virtuous deeds with body, speech, and mind. And going for refuge from the hot sun of dukkha. In the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, most excellent, we take refuge in enlightenment's reach. So by the merit of generosity and the good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. In the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, most excellent, we take refuge in enlightenment's reach. So by the merit of generosity and the good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood, complete awakening for the sake of all sentient beings. Sangye chudang soki chumnam la janju badu dagi katsu chi dagi jin soki ba sonam ki drua panchu sangye drupa shu. May all mother sentient beings balance the sky of happiness, the cause of happiness. May they liberate from suffering, the cause of suffering. May they never be separated from the happiness which is free from sorrow. May they rest in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. May all mother sentient beings balance the sky of happiness and the cause of happiness. May they liberate from suffering, the cause of suffering. May they never be separated from the happiness which is free from sorrow. May they rest in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. May all mother sentient beings balance the sky of happiness and the cause of happiness. May they liberate from suffering, the cause of suffering. May they never be separated from happiness which is free from sorrow. May they rest in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. So, somebody's written here that's called this guy called Lama Yangdu. Before full meditative absorptions arise, there's a quality of focus called upachara samadhi. This is, which literally in Sanskrit or Pali means upgoing. Chara is car, vehicle, or movement. And upa is up, upward going, samadhi, forward going samadhi. It's been translated as neighborhood samadhi about 100 years ago, and nobody really knows why, but it means it's just in the neighborhood of a full absorption. So it has some minor occasional thought. It's very much unified with the object. You feel like you're with the object. Maybe still separated, but it feels good. There's a stillness and a quality of tranquility, flow. Have you heard that term flow? I think there's a book called Flow. You've heard that? I think there's a book called Flow. Very famous book written, could be 30 years ago now. I think by a Czechoslovakian called Flow. Is that right? What was his name?
Unpronounceable.
Kozłowicz, something like that, but called Flow. And there he describes this experience in sports and business and other kinds of things, right, if I remember correctly, of what it's like to enter into this beautiful flow. And upachara is that beautiful flow. It is not full samadhi because there's still usually an observer present, but it's a beautiful feeling, and we want to have that easeful feeling of being able to observe without thinking. Now, something that's happened to some of you, or actually all of you, doesn't matter who, is what's called the five hindrances. So I want to inform you of the five hindrances because you're going to think that it's unusual, when in fact it's absolutely normal. The five hindrances actually happen all day long. We block them out. So for instance, when we get frustrated with something, we just go to some other object. If we aren't getting what we want in the object, the thought, the person, a place or thing, we just go to some other object. And what we don't feel is we don't feel the frustration. We might feel the frustration, but we don't feel it so much as if we're in retreat. So as I said, in a kind of funny way, at least I thought it was, you know, why you're here, you're all expecting to have meditative experiences, feel good, tranquil, and so on. But what happens when you don't? Is that going to happen? Of course it will. Yes. So you're not going to get the object you want. Occasionally you will. Is this correct? Yeah. Therefore, there will be frustration, correct? So the first hindrance, which is experienced all day long, but really becomes apparent in meditation retreat, is called in Pali Kamachanda, which is literally desire for the moon. Chando, moon, and kama, right? It's just like Hindi, yeah? Kama, which is desire. So this is chasing after sensory meditative experiences, any kind of experience. Eventually, you may get so bored that you're going to pull out something out of the refrigerator and read the label over and over and over again, just to have some sensory experience. Have you had that experience? Yeah. The 30-year-old newspaper that's lining the drawers, someone told me that. They were in an insight retreat, and after like a week, they broke down and pulled out all the drawers and read crumbling 30-year-old newspapers over and over and over again because they just couldn't. They were just bored out of their mind watching the rise and fall of the breath. So they weren't getting what they wanted, so therefore they're going to get something. He was actually a thespian actor. He's passed away, George. But he was a thespian actor from England and always expressed it in a kind of Shakespearean tragic comedy. And then, after 7 days in retreat with Ananda Bodhi teaching insight, I pulled open the drawers, which were empty. And there were 30-year-old newspapers. I think they were from the war, right? And crumbling, and I read them over and over and over again. I always loved going to see George and Mari. They were trained in Shakespearean drama in England, and everything was just over the top. Over the top. Anyways, wonderful. So this is, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to try to have an experience and you will produce experiences. Okay. When you don't get what you want, there's a frustration. And in Pali, it's called vyapada, which is also sometimes pronounced vyapada. V's and B's get interchanged depending on where you are in India. And vyapada literally means poor footing, pada, foot. You're off on a kind of funny footing, but really means ill will, low level of anger, frustration, irritation, and it can happen within a fraction of a second. It's just so fast. Just all of a sudden, and you can first of all feel it in your body, and then you can feel it in the mind, just like, I want something to happen. I'm going to make something happen. So, but what happens is, when we are in a low level of frustration, even when we can't feel it, we're not even aware of it, it's very tiring. It's extremely exhausting. It uses up a lot of brain glucose, uses up a lot of sugar, and then we get very, very tired. And then we go into what's called tinha mitta, or sloth and torpor, a dullness of the mind. It's not the same as being naturally sleepy. It's utterly like this. And it can get so strong that from the point of from it happening, your head will hit the table, like my students in the Arctic used to do. When as soon as I turned off the slides for art history, the lights for art history, they would go like this. And you'd actually hear the head hit the table. So I've had that experience in meditation where I literally fall over. So like thick molasses or jelly, that's the experience, and it can happen very quickly. So be aware of these. Don't go, oh, bad meditation. No, phenomena, just phenomena, standard. When we come out of this blue state of dullness and thickness, we then get restless. And we go through the udacha kakuchas, lovely word, it's a bit like Yiddish, sounds like what it means. And we get restless and we get agitated because we're supposed to be doing something. And we've been sleeping, and we're now agitated. What's going to happen? What we're doing? So this is a restlessness and a worry. And the mind is flighty. Nothing can settle easily. and you find no calm. And it's kind of a general unspecified anxiety in the bodies, in the body and the mind. And then once you finish going through that, you get the wichikichas. Standard. And that's where you doubt everything. You doubt your meditation. First of all, usually it's your meditation posture. Well, meditation posture isn't correct. And then it's the room isn't correct. The lighting isn't right. The temperature's wrong. The height of the pillow is incorrect. The water bottle is wrong. And then eventually it goes and goes and goes. The retreat place is wrong. The food, the teacher, the lineage. Usually the teacher always. Always the teacher. In the end, it's always the teacher, the lineage. It's all wrong. You know, if I didn't have the ninth karmapa text, but it was a seventh karmapa text, right? Or if I had Tashi Namjil's Mahamudra text, there must be something more special than that. This is the kind of doubt. It's insidious, and it's the destroyer of spiritual practice. So even to the point of making every excuse to get out of the retreat, I've heard everything. Like, believe me, I've heard every imaginable excuse to get out of the retreat. And it's called rolling up the mat in Zen. And that's doubt. That's just unspeakable doubt. And it turns out this doubt is yourself. You just doubt yourself. You doubt you're doubting your own capacity. And therefore it gets turned on outer things. You know, teachers they're perfect, right? It could never be wrong. But if you have real self-confidence in liberation, which is the first stage of liberation. The first stage of true liberation is no more doubt about liberation. It's really true. Which means you'll never go through this again. You just won't go through this. But up until that point, every conceivable excuse is dreamed up as to why one should be somewhere else than the meditation. Even when the meditation retreat's going well, it's like, I've heard there's another Dzogchen retreat across the lake. That would be better. Okay. So I want you to be aware of these and catch them, label them, name them, know them, so that you're not fooled. You're not fooled into going, oh, my meditation's bad. It's not going well. Uh-oh, there it is. Wichikicha. You went through 5 of them within the space of 1 minute. And now you're with Wichikichan going, oh, I can't do this. This is too hard. Oh, Wichikicha. And then just wait 2 minutes and you'll be back into, this is good. I like this. Oh, yeah. Why am I here? You know, you get this when you've been in retreat long enough and you just start making jokes about it. You go, oh, there it is again. Yeah. I should be changing my meditation completely. What am I doing? So this is actually happening all day long. But we bury it in going for coffee, using our cell phone, I'll look something up on Google, I'll go for a chat, you know, Dharma centers, I'll have a philosophical conversation with someone in the bathhouse. How are you? What are you doing here? Oh, by the way, I want to tell you about the nature of mind. Every possible manifestation is there. I remember one guy in retreat. He was from Germany, and he said to me, "I was the resident teacher." He says, "There's something I must do." He's in like a 6-month retreat in a cabin. Comes to me, he says, "There's something I must do." I said, "Yes." I'm always like, "Yes." He goes, "I am German." I said, "Yes, yes, I know that." "I must make bread." I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. This is great. This is great. You know, it's great. I go, "Oh, really?" "Yes. The bread here is not so good. It's Canada, you know?" I said, "Yes, I know. And I agree. I absolutely agree." He says, "I must make bread. I am German." I said, "But you are in retreat. Would it be possible to use the kitchen for a few hours every day to make bread?" And there was nothing stopping him. He was either going to leave the retreat or make bread. So I thought, no, it's better for him to make bread. And I said, could you make an extra loaf for all of us? Because then we can actually have some good bread. That was fantastic bread. So I was very happy that he had such a case of wuchikicha and kakucha. Udacha kakucha was wonderful. But he had to go through that for weeks and weeks and weeks until he could settle down. He had such doubt, okay? So be aware that it happens all day long, everywhere, every place. It's happening microscopically, but we bury it. This particular five hindrances becomes a very high wisdom insight meditation later on when you can stand it. When you have a really lucid mind, the Buddha gave this out and said, this is a high wisdom practice. Because once you can actually identify them and they dissolve, you will come to a state of no more five hindrances. That's called full arhat. Okay. Is there another page, Cole? Ah, here it is. No? Ah, yes. Okay, page 2. We generally, when we're in longer retreats, I ask people to memorize these because they must be identified. And you have to make sure you don't get fooled by them. That they'll fool you and drag you down. And they'll help you in daily life tremendously. Now, number 2. This may be a lot to take in, that's why there's a handout. The order of going into samadhi or going into mental concentration follows a very regular order, which is if you can stay in sensory contact and not mind wander, then there will be an experience of like a sailboat where the wind suddenly fills the sails and you take off. Do you know that feeling? Have some of you sailed? You're kind of, going along. You're on your tack. It's okay. It's nice. You're just floating along. And all of a sudden a breeze comes in and it fills the sails, and you're going, and you're just moving in one beautiful direction. That is the first stage of mental absorption. And you'll have other factors at the same time. You'll move along in union with the object. You'll feel an inseparable union with the object. Your body will all of a sudden feel delighted, physically delighted. There can be all kinds of manifestations, but it's literally this utterly lovely sensation. Even if there was pain a moment ago, you feel, even with pain, you feel this utterly lovely sensation through the body. And there's other manifestations. You might, for instance, as you get deeper and deeper, feel ants. Anybody feel ants running up their skin? Yeah? Classic. Warm, hot, lifted up, all kinds of different kinds of experiences. These are called physical PTs, and they're like joy or thrill. Anybody have a spider kind of run down their shirt? Oh, that's cool. You're sitting in meditation, and you're in a place where there's poisonous spiders. it's a spider for sure. Oh, yeah. Or it's going up your leg, and it's there. Except when you look, there's nothing there. So these are thrills of the body that happen as the energy prana begins to move. You'll have all kinds of things, but especially bliss in a leg, bliss in an arm, bliss in the belly, bliss in the heart, all these kinds of things. Okay, and then number 4, at the same time as number 1, 2, and 3, you will have a mental happiness, either from mild to utterly ecstatic, and number 5, a physical mental balance. You'll feel utterly in this kind of beautiful Libran balance of neither here nor there. And then as each one falls away in order, as Wataka falls away, then you just have Vachara, Vichara, Piti, Sukha, Upeka. And actually what happens is as each one falls away, as deeper concentration goes, as you get to number 4, there will just be happiness in the mind and this beautiful balance, and even that happiness will go, and there'll be just one-pointed total unity with the object. There will be no separation, all and total mental balance. You won't even be able to find happiness. You'll be happy, but you won't find it. Okay? So these are the signs of going into full absorption. When we practice Mahamudra Dzogchen, we actually don't want to go all the way through. Because if we do, we're hopeless. We're like this. There's no thought. There's just pure concentration. But there's no totality feeling. There's no necessarily feeling like you're embedded in an entire universe. So where we really want to be is early on. Either the full five in a beautiful, gentle balance, or even before that is Upachara Samadhi, which is almost no thoughts, and a feeling of upliftment and ease in the mind and the body. Okay, that's really good. But I want you to be aware of the different progressions of Samadhi or Jhana absorption, and these will happen to everybody. It can happen while you're on a massage table. It can happen skiing. It can happen bicycling, rowing. All of a sudden, there's enough sensation, you're paying attention, and all of a sudden you go, oh, this is lovely, and the thoughts just evaporate, and you're in this beautiful unit of place. Just, there's just rowing. Yeah.
Say something about in the sitting practice, if one moves through these stages, and then, let's say you're at the four, number five. What do you do then coming out of the meditation? Like, what's the instruction for?
If we get trained, if we train in this, which takes months, we go up and down them, so we can actually go up and down them and go in, out, quite effortlessly. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we backtrack out. But if you are quite skilled, then you need to be able to snap out of it. Just snap out of it into normal light absorption. See, by the time you get to number four or five, you can't speak. There's no access to the speech part of the brain. Likely is you can't find your body. So these are signs. By four and five, you will not find your body. You'll be sitting there like this, and there's no body found. So even if you want to find your body, you may not be able to contact your body. And you certainly won't be able to speak. You'll go like this, watch. And there's no connection to your speech center. So that's how deep it is.
Maybe if let's say I've just had a really good meditation.
No, not a good meditation.
One that gives me pleasure.
Oh, okay, okay.
There's this desire to stay there. Like,
yes.
Oh, sure, I'll meditate for another 15 minutes or another. Or to take it into.
Right. Okay. Good.
What's the tech? How do I do that? How do I step out of a blissful state and then go and get a cup of tea or something? Like, is there an instruction around that?
Yes, which is what we're doing. Is you come out into a state of upachara samadhi, neighborhood samadhi, which is very relaxed, has all these properties but in minor amounts, and operate from that. Yeah, you operate from that. Because to be in this means you're not operating. You might be actually entering into some psychic powers, into some psychic phenomena, this kind of thing. But by the time you're in five, you're not walking to make a cup of tea. But in stage one, yeah, in the first jhana, yes, you could make a cup of tea. So what you really want is a light samadhi. And in the light samadhi is where we can practice insight. That's actually the ideal, because we can observe. And we can actually have our mind in a light place, which means we can have sensory experience, but not attached to it. In the case of number five, it's finished sensory experience. There might be just a light. There might just be a pinpoint of light. There's certainly no you. And it's not great for insight meditation. But here's the key. This level of tranquility washes the mind and makes an easefulness that makes insight, penetrative insight meditation really fast. So what we're doing in this first week is we're practicing having a very tranquil, easeful mind and a samadhi so that when we come to looking, it's really ideal. Okay? It's like being washed with a beautiful rainfall and you feel, or a shower, and you feel washed through and pure. And all the hindrances are gone, which means for 5, 10, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, you can remain looking at awareness. Utterly easeful, because you've been washed through. So the meditation theme becomes effortless, whereas before it's full of hindrances. This is the purpose. Okay? Yeah.
Without the itch.
Pardon?
Could you say without the itch you
mentioned? Yes, without the itch. Is that, you mean the itch? Yeah, the itch. When the five hindrances are suppressed, the itch is not there. As soon as the five hindrances come back up, the itchiness will be there. Yeah. So I want you, for now, I'm not going to go into great detail of how you do this or anything else, but be aware that these factors are what is really going to arise as you practiced one-pointed meditation. All meditation experience really focuses around this. Later on, I'll teach you, maybe this retreat, maybe not, that actually all meditation experience is a play of the five elements, the five dhatus. But this will always be arising for some, for most of you. Something like this. It's good to know what this is. Okay, so just to if you look at the summary in the middle of the page, it says the order is when there is the beginning of meditative concentration, absorption, you'll have all five factors in a gentle quality. It was said that the Buddha always resided in the first jhana. Always. He's just always in that quality of mind. And it is said, really, and this is probably the case, it's debated, in the first jhana, some people say there's no verbalization. That's not really true. There will be just the rarest occasional verbalization come up. Rare. It just bubbles, seen, it evaporates. By the second jhana, vichara, piti, sukha, upekkha, tagata, then there will be no verbalization. Okay? That's how it works. And by number four, it's just basically no verbalization and utterly happy. Utterly just so composed and feeling the universe is utterly perfect in every way. Just utterly, sparklingly perfect. Now, when we come, just because some of you practice this, when we come to the deity yoga practices or the generation stage practices, we do want to enter into these because they have a lot to do with luminosity. The ability to spread compassion infinitely with light and sound comes from the ability to enter into these. So we do want to actually get fairly good with that. Okay, and the last thing I want to, you can read through this and you can ask questions tomorrow. The last thing I want to do today, because we only have about 4 minutes, is I want to show you on page 3 that in the Mahayana tradition, wasn't seen in the none of the Theravadan texts have this, but later on, if there's such a thing as later on, there was the system of what's called the 9 ways of resting the mind, and attributed to Maitreya, a great bodhisattva, and considered the future Buddha in the next cycle in about possibly 500 years. When we can't even meditate anymore. But you'll see the progressive order of the mind resting is what you're going to go through with these 9. And number 1 is measured by being able to focus on the breath 21 times without any mind wandering. That is number 1. So just so you know, we can actually measure this. It's not flaky. It's really exact. So when you can stay with the breath, with each contact of the breath in the nostrils, exact, without any mind wandering, then you've reached number one. Number nine is where you don't actually have to make any adjustments or any corrections. The mind rests like a calm, clear, settled ocean, resplendent without any effort. Okay? Not enlightenment, but excellent tool for liberation in Mahamudra Dzogchen. Yogic practices. So there's a lot to teach, but I want you to be aware by reading these of what you're going to actually experience. This is good. Everybody's going to experience this. I don't care if you're Hindu, Buddhist, shaman, Muslim. It doesn't matter what. You're going to go through these physical experiences, and they're biological. They're biochemical. This isn't just mental phenomena. It's actually physical. You'll feel it. Like chemical washes going through you. Yeah. Would you say that when you get sleepy at night, and maybe feel like get sleepy sometimes? I'll get sleepy. I want to know if you're human. Okay. Have you ever said to yourself, "This is physical or mental? I'm mentally sleepy." Which one? Or is it a physical sleepiness? Mental, physical, isn't it? Have you ever felt like someone has taken a hypodermic and you're sitting there quite bright and fine and someone sticks a hypodermic in you and you go like this? Have you had that?
Yes.
What's the feeling? Like a drug injection, isn't it?
Yes,
just
yes.
Like someone's injected you with a drug. All meditative phenomena is the same. It's a link between body and mind. Whatever happens in the mind is happening biologically. Whatever you're doing biologically is affecting your mind. It's called prana mind. You see? By reading this, it changes you. By reading prayers and meditating, it changes you. It changes you biologically. This is not a mentalist activity. It's a biological process by which you lay down different neural pathways. And therefore, you will experience cognitively the world and yourself differently. Okay? That is now exactly 11:30. There's a little bit of Germanic blood. Anybody have a burning, hot question that they must clear up? Any doubts? Any doubts? This is a very fast path, by the way. I really do mean this. This is fast. This is as fast as it can get. Yeah? And when we run into blockages and obstacles, then we sometimes have to back up and build merit. But right now, what we're doing is pure meditation. And sometimes what we do is a lot of practices that build our strength and purify our things that are in the way. But right now, what we're doing here is going at it. Going at it. Okay? Good. So let's share the merit. Where is that? What I wrote, I need to check what I wrote because I change it every time. And a session with Laurel this afternoon, yes? Great, 3:00? Great, good. Let's share the merit. For all beings, by the power of the strengthening activity, may there be the cessation of defilements. May all beings be well and happy. May all beings be established in the effortless natural continuum of primordial awareness, the union of wisdom and compassion, as a glorious gift of liberation for all sentient life. Sarmangalam, Sarmangalam, Sarmangalam. And in Tibetan, Tashi, Tashi, Tashi Delik, or Tashi. Blessings, blessings, blessings.